Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do we have any shepherds in the room? Whether shepherds of sheep or goats? You've raised sheep and goats?
No.
I thought there was some part of your growing up that I didn't know about. Oh, yeah. Shepherding kids around. That. I bet there are some goats in there with some sheep too, right? Well, as you might know, my parents raised sheep. They weren't doing it when I was a kid, but I've seen them with their sheep, but they've never had goats.
Where'd they do this at?
On my family farm. But I did get the chance to see firsthand the difference between sheep and goats. About 4 years ago, on my last trip to the Holy Land, I was in Nazareth, and I got to see a mixed flock, mixed both sheep and goats. Because these two animals actually are from the same subfamily. They're not the same species, but they're both Capernaum. And there are a couple of visual differences. You might have seen pictures, or at least at a petting zoo, you know on sight the difference between a sheep and a goat, right? But there's also some behavioral differences in them. But they are commonly raised together, both in ancient Palestine and in modern day Palestine. So I got to see this in Nazareth. I already knew from my parents' sheep that they are food motivated, as many animals are, including us humans, right? But there's a difference between sheep and goats in how they're food motivated. Sheep tend to follow their shepherd, trusting that the shepherd is going to take them to food. Goats, however, do not. Goats tend to wander off on their own in search of food. They don't listen all that well, and they don't walk in those perfectly straight lines that sheep tend to do. And worse than that, when they do find something tasty as they've wandered off, they call out and let everybody else know that they've found something tasty. And so the rest of the goats come running, and so do the sheep. Those sheep that were following their shepherd so nicely go running towards the tasty item as well. At least they're sharing, but they ruin what the shepherd is trying to do. Goats tend to be more self-interested. They're less trusting. They're less obedient to the shepherd. And I think that this might be why Jesus uses these categories of sheep and goats. It's not just two arbitrary animals that get raised together, but there is this difference in their behavior. I think it goes towards his point. But in Ezekiel, that we don't hear the two categories of sheep and goat. Instead, Ezekiel compares sheep to sheep. Ezekiel talks about lean sheep and fat sheep. The lean are lean because they have been bullied out of their share of the food. That all gets poured into one trough. The fat sheep come in and elbow their way in. And the weak, lean sheep end up on the outskirts with only the remnants for them to eat. In other words, they bully others out of their share. But both of these dichotomies, although one sheep and goats and one sheep and sheep, they both make the same point. The goats and the fat sheep tend to take matters into their own hands. They look out for themselves. As if not fully trusting in God, the shepherd, to provide for them and those around them. So I wonder, are you a sheep or are you a goat? It's a trick question. Because I think that it falls into the same category as the other Matthean parables we've read over the last couple weeks of all these dichotomies. None of us were wise bridesmaids, and none of us were foolish. None of us were good and trustworthy servants, and none of us are lazy servants. Just like none of us are sheep, and none of us are goats. We are all wise and foolish, good and trustworthy and lazy. We are all sheep and goat. As Luther puts it, we are simultaneously saint and sinner. There are times where we trust in God to provide for all that we need and all of our neighbors need, and we participate in the distribution of that provision to all. But at other times, we do not fully trust in God. We bully and steal and scheme. We even lead others astray as we inflate our egos that we are in charge, that we provide for ourselves, that we are more important than our neighbors. Thankfully, though, as we exist as geep, which is the technical term for a goat-sheep hybrid, as we exist as geep, we still are cared for and guided and ushered to the right. I'm not talking about politically, I mean the hand, to the right side of Jesus. We are called righteous, not on our own account, but on Jesus' account. And we are given eternal life. For the weeping and gnashing of teeth is not then actually a punishment. It's simply an outcome. It's a result. It's a consequence of us all being selfish. When we turn in on ourselves, when we only look out for number one, when as a congregation we function out of the fear of scarcity, or when a government acts like a cultural psychopath that is unable to empathize with others, everyone loses out, including the main actor themselves, including the selfish one, whether on the personal, the congregational, or a national level. Selfishness in the end is not what God had in mind, but it does remain our human nature, our evolutionary inclination. Our very human nature is to look out for ourselves, to be selfish, to strive for survival at any cost. That's exactly why we need to be guided, to be shown another way, to be shown that we can trust and work with others and thrive. And that it is, in fact, through working with others and for others that we all do thrive. That's why this Sunday's festival is Christ the King Sunday. Or others call it the Reign of Christ Sunday. Those two are connected, though. Think back historically in Israel of the human kings they had, Saul and David and Solomon. Even those that are described as great kings have a sordid past. That's not the king that we need to be led by. We are instead led by a new kind of king, Jesus. Ezekiel's prophecy talks about David being the king, but is written centuries after David died. So we can't be talking about the historical David, but instead from the Davidic line, which Jesus comes. But really, Jesus is not a new king, but the reestablishment of the original king of creation. Through Jesus, God is rethroned as earth's ruler, and the reign of God enters a new stage. Sometimes when we talk about the kingdom of God, as we've heard over and over again through the Matthean parables this year, we think about the kingdom of God as a place. But it's really more a period of time, which is why some people use the phrase reign of God. Or to get some body of Christ language in it, I like to call it the kingdom of God. I drop the G. These terms, whether it's kingdom or reign or kingdom, do not just refer to some future time or place far, far away. But we exist in the kingdom of God right here, right now. Every day we get to see glimpses of God's original intent for creation breaking into our world, in and among all of the bad news that we see on TV and in the newspaper and on the radio. There are glimpses of humans acting like sheep, following the shepherd so that all might be fed. It is when humanity acts like Jesus describes the sheep, that's when we get to experience the kingdom. It's when we consider others as much as we consider ourselves, because we realize that we are all equally beloved children of God. The reign of God is when the outsider and the other are welcomed, when the hungry receive bags upon bags of groceries from our food pantry. The kingdom of God is when we worry less about who is on the right and who is on the left, or where any of us will end up in the end, and we live instead within the peace of God right now. We get to experience the kingdom of God. We get to be part of it right here, right now. And we get to look forward to it being fully broken in the future. And as we go along, even when we slip and act a little goatish, we can be assured that God still loves us. So I pray that we can hear this parable as less of a stern warning to get us to act correctly for fear of punishment, and instead as an invitation to fully participate in the kingdom of God, where we have a faithful shepherd to lead us, and where there is always enough to go around. Amen.